All right, take your Bibles this morning and turn over to Luke chapter 12, please. Luke chapter 12. And again, be in prayer for those who are not well. We have some special music planned today that we weren't able to do because of sickness, and it's just kind of going around. And let's just pray for one another for good health and strength, and that it doesn't keep on being passed around, whatever that nasty bug is. I try to take care of my daughters and my wife when they're sick, but at the same time, I try to keep my distance. I don't want to get what they have. But I spent the last day and a half or so trying to care for those who are sick, and my wife is feeling better today, but recovering, and my other two girls are on the uphill side. They're past the worst of it, so pray for them, please. And others who are still not well. I got a text from Tim Howard this morning saying that he was sick as well and not able to be here today. But he wanted us to know that he was wishing he could be and asked if we'd pray for him that he'd get well soon. All right, pray for him too, okay? All right, Luke chapter 12. Let's go ahead and read. I want to read verses 35 through 48 this morning. Luke chapter 12. And beginning in verse 35, the Bible says, "Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." Then Peter said unto him, "Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all?" And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants, and eat and drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." We continue on in our considering of the parables of Jesus Christ, and we're back here in Luke chapter 12 today. And we've been here before, and we'll get to some of this in a little bit, but let's go to the Lord in prayer, all right, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, we pray that you give us understanding of your word today, and Father, that we would understand the basic truth that you have put forth in your word and how we may apply it in our life today. And Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would have full control this morning of the things that I say, but also, Father, of the responses of people's hearts. And Lord, that you be pleased with it. Accomplish your purpose now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The context of this parable that Jesus gives here is found in the verses prior to this. And we considered these verses a couple of weeks ago, where Jesus is talking about not taking thought for the life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, what you're going to put on. And in verse 23 of this chapter, Jesus says that the life is more. Your life consists more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. There's more to this life than just the physical things that we need. We need food, we need clothing, we need shelter, but life is a whole lot more than just that. And Jesus is trying to point out the fact that we have to be good stewards of the possessions that God has given, but it's not about this life. It's not about the temporal plane. It's not about the here and now. It's about what's coming. It's about the future. And so Jesus talks about the stewardship of possessions, and he moves from that, beginning in verse 35, to the stewardship of life itself and service unto God. And he does this by dealing with a heart check towards the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives this parable here. And the intent of the parable is to give instruction to be ready for the Lord's return. And I want to preach to you this morning on this subject. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. When we were here in chapter 12 before, we talked about verse 34, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And we talked about how living for material things and material possessions, or living on a temporal plane, is a trap for that many people fall into. But living for material possessions and living on a material or temporal plane can blind us to the future. And it can make us unprepared for the Lord's return. There's a whole lot of people that are like that right now. People whom God is trying to speak to their heart and to their soul, but they're blind to their eternal destiny. They're blind to their future without God because they live on a temporal plane. There's many, and maybe even some here today, that God has spoken to your heart in the past, and you will not give up control of your life to God, and you are blind to your future, the horrors of your future, without God, because you live in the here and the now. There's a lot of saints of God who are wrapped up in this world's goods, so much so that they neglect eternity, when now is a time to be laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. That is what our purpose ought to be, but they're so entangled with the affairs of life now, so worried over what they're going to eat, drink, and what they're going to wear, and where they're going to live, all the things that Jesus talked about prior to these verses in this chapter. They've become entangled, and their treasure and their heart is on the temporal plane, the here and now, to the neglect of eternity. And Jesus goes into this parable, and he's trying to get people to see that living on a temporal plane, being wrapped up in this world, can make us blind to the future, to where we're unprepared for the return of the Lord. Just a basic outline for you this morning. We're going to talk about the waiting, the watching, and the working in these verses that we've read. Just let me give you a little bit of a background here. Because in verse 35, Jesus says, "Let your loins be girded about and your lights be burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding." Jesus gives an illustration here of a truth. And that's what parables are, an illustration of a truth. And he says servants or God's people are to be like servants who wait for their Lord's return. Back in those days, when a master was away on a journey, the servant's job was to wait for his return. The servant's job was to keep watch over the door and to keep a watch out for his return. Now, in that culture, they didn't necessarily stick to a particular itinerary, and there wasn't a specific time that would be set for the return of that Lord or that master. And so the job of the servant was to always be ready for his return, because he could come in the second watch, he could come in the third, he could come at any time, and their job was to always be prepared and always be ready. When the master was away at mealtime, the women and the children would eat. Then the servants would eat, but then a portion of that was set aside for the master's return. At bedtime, the women and the children would go to sleep, but the servants were to keep awake and to keep watch and to be ready to serve their master the moment that he came back. It was a disgrace for the master of the house to have to wait on himself or to be locked out of his house when he returned. And they would set aside a portion of the meal for their Lord's return so that when he came home, whenever that was, they would immediately be able to serve him. And he would not have to serve himself. That was the culture. Evil servants of that day, they would sneak in some shut-eye when they had a chance, trying to do their very best to calculate the time of the master's return so they could be found ready or faithful when he came. Sort of like when me and my wife leave for a couple of hours, go to Fairbanks or whatever, and we leave the girls at home, we'll give them jobs to do. I want you to do this, I want you to do this, and I want you to do this. This all needs to be done by the time I get home. I'm not going to lie, there have been times when on purpose I've basically not let them know that I was coming home because I wanted to see if they were ready, if they were being good kids and doing their jobs. And there have been times when I come home and it's a surprise and there's a scramble. Oh, Mom and Dad are driving in the driveway. Hurry up, get this done. It's a scramble to get all the things done. None of you have ever done that, right? I remember it well when I was a kid. So I know that my kids are doing the same thing. That's sort of what it's like, though, those evil servants. They try to calculate the master's return, their Lord's return, when they should have been faithful the whole time. They're trying to get what they can get, but then still be found faithful. But the faithful servants of that day, they would never sleep. No matter when their Lord would return, they would be on the watch, always, even at intervals, going to the door, looking outside to see if he was coming. They were prepared. They were ready to open the door immediately upon their Lord's return. And Jesus likens his return to servants who wait for their Lord. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. The Lord is coming. The waiting, the watching, and the working. First of all, consider with me verses 35 and 36, the waiting. Jesus says here, "Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately." Here, Jesus gives some instructions, and he's likening it to being ready for the Lord's second return, the Lord's coming. And he says, "Ye yourselves need to be like men who wait for their Lord when he'll return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, that they may open to him immediately." But he says, "Let your loins be girded about and your light burning." Here's the instruction for how the waiting is supposed to be. He says you got to be ready. You need to be vigilant. You need to be attentive. You need to be alert. You need to be aware. But how do you do that? By having your loins girded. Now, what he's talking about is they would wear a longer flowing robe, but in order to have the loins girded, it needed to be gathered up and bound together so that they would be unencumbered, so that they would be free for activity, so that they could be free for service. And you know, spiritually speaking, we are to have our loins girded about with truth. As saints of God, part of our watching, part of our waiting for the Lord's return is not just sitting on our hands idle, But to have our loins girded about with truth, the word of God, and have our life in order, and then listen, understand this, to not be entangled with the affairs of this life so that we can be free to be about our master's business. Look with me over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Why? That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." And Paul's admonition to Timothy here is the affairs of this life, they entrap, they entangle, they ensnare, they encumber, so that we're not free to be a good soldier. And this is part of having the loins girt about. You know, our waiting for the Lord's return as saints of God, we wait for the Lord. He promised he was going to come again. We'll talk about some of this a little bit later on, but Jesus Christ promised he would come again, and we're to be waiting for him. How are we to be waiting? Are we to be just sitting on our hands, idle, staring up into the heavens, waiting? Or is there a job that we're supposed to be doing? We can be encumbered and we can be entangled with the affairs of this life so that it keeps us from being free to do our job. It's not the right kind of waiting if we're entangling ourselves with the affairs of this life. And that ties in with the context of what Jesus just talked about. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We're not to be entangled with the temporal things of this world because it hinders our readiness for the Lord's return. But he also says, having your lamps burning. Here's the preparedness, the readiness, the loins girded about, being free for activity, but also the lamps burning. To keep the lamps burning, it required them to keep that wick trimmed, to keep that oil replenished, so that the lamp wouldn't burn out. And we could liken it to, listen, we could liken it to the Spirit of God in our life that affects our testimony in this world. Our lamps burning bright. We need the Holy Spirit of God, the oil of the Spirit of God to be fresh, that our lamp would burn bright as a testimony in this world. That's part of our readiness for the Lord's return. It's part of our waiting. Jesus says you need to be like those servants who are always ready. And the key was in verse 40. The reason is because verse 40 says, "Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." Jesus Christ could come at any time, and we always need to be ready. And this is applied in how we live day by day. The context here was about being too concerned for living for treasure and living for pleasure today and not living with eternity in view. So many people are guilty of that, not living with eternity in view. Having the mindset that the Lord could come today is going to change the way we operate on a day-to-day basis. It's going to change our priorities, what we find to be the most important thing. If we're living with eternity in view, that the Lord could come today, our Lord could come back at any moment, are we going to be found faithful? It's going to change the priorities of life, my friend. Are we too concerned about living for treasure or pleasure? Or are we concerned about the fact that our Lord could come and we need to be found faithful when he does? Well, it's going to be demonstrated. What our heart condition is going to be demonstrated by what dominates our life. Pleasure or service to Christ? We need to be waiting. But also consider with me, secondly, the watching. Verses 37 to 40. Go back to our text there. The watching. Verse 37, Jesus says, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." The first thing we note about this watching is in verses 37 and 38, there's really a celebration and a reward when the Lord comes. "Blessed are those servants whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants." Listen, prepared ones are going to experience joy at the return of their Lord. But he also gives a caution here in verses 39 and 40, and he says that caution is that there needs to be constant watchfulness. It needs to be maintained because he comes as a thief. And so we need to be ready. And he gives an illustration. He says, look, if the goodman of the house knew when that thief was going to come and break into his house, what would he do? He would make himself there. He would be prepared. He'd be ready. He'd be watching so that he couldn't break through. Man, if you living in your own home, if the thief is not going to call you up and say, "Hey, I'm going to be at your house to break into your house at 9 p.m. They're not going to do that. But if they did do that, where would you be? You'd be at your house. You'd be there with your whatever you choose to use so that he couldn't get in. You'd be prepared. You'd be watching, right? Well, Jesus says, you know what? It's like the Lord hasn't told us when he's going to come back. He could come at any moment. He could come at any time. And the point was that you always need to be ready and to be watching so that when he comes, you're prepared. I think if we knew the hour and if we knew the day, how many people would live their life a certain way? I'm going to live it for me. I'm going to live it for now. I'm going to live it for my pleasure here. And just right before the Lord returns, because it's supposed to be at 9 o'clock on this day, I'll make sure that I get right with God. The watching is with a caution. And we always need to be ready. As saints of God, we should be looking for the coming of the Lord. We should love it. We should long for his coming. That's what 2 Timothy chapter 4 teaches us. Go over there to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4, and look at verse 8. Paul says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." There's a reward for those who love the Lord's appearing, but it's going to be demonstrated in the way that we live. That watching for the Lord is not, again, an idly sitting on our hands or living for self. We need to be ready for the Lord's return. He could come at any moment. It's going to affect the way that we live in our daily life. There was a visitor to an elementary school that told the children that upon his return, he would give a prize to the student who had their desk in best order. "When will you return?" they asked. He said, "I cannot tell." A little girl who was known for keeping a messy desk said she meant to win that prize. "You?" her classmates jeered. "Your desk is always out of order." "Oh, but I will clean it at the beginning of every week," she said. "But what if he comes back at the end of the week?" "Then I will keep it clean every morning." but he may come at the end of the day. She thought and then said, I know what I'll do. I'll just keep it clean all the time. And that's sort of like how we ought to live our life. Amen? How we ought to be living day by day. Sometimes people are like that. Well, you know, I'll get right with God right before he returns, and or go for periods of time with a messy house, a messy life, and with sin in the life, and unconfessed sin, and poor character, and all the things that are not Christ-like, things that even they know should be dealt with. And go through periods of time like that. Well, I'll clean it up every week, or I'll clean it up every day. But why not have the heart attitude that my Lord could come at any moment? I'm just going to keep my life clean. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be watching. Our exhortation from the Lord is to, listen, you got to get ready because he's coming again, but then you got to stay ready. How do you get ready for the Lord's return? Well, first of all, you need to be saved. You need to be saved to be ready for the Lord's return. John chapter 3 and verse 3. Go over there with me. John 3 verse 3. Jesus is speaking to a Pharisee named Nicodemus, who is a ruler of the Jews. And he came to Jesus in private and secret by night. Probably didn't want others to know that he was talking with Jesus. But in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. And Jesus' instruction here to Nicodemus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Jesus is talking about how he can't see or understand God's spiritual kingdom. Certainly that's what he's saying. But listen, the truth is, except a man be born again, he's never going to see heaven as well. We got to get ready for the Lord's return. But how do you get ready? Well, you got to be saved. You'll never see heaven. You'll never enter into the kingdom of God without being saved, without being born again. But listen, there's no time to wait. Because Matthew chapter 24, if you turn over there with me, Matthew chapter 24, in verse 36, Jesus says, But of that day and hour knoweth no man, nor the angels of heaven, but my Father only. What's he talking about? He's talking about the return of the Lord. Nobody knows the day or the hour. But verse 37 says, But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And listen, they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Here's a parallel passage to this parable that we're reading in Luke. And in this context of this passage, Jesus says, of the day and the hour knoweth no man. Nobody knows the hour that the Lord is coming. So he says in verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." And he says it again, verse 44, "Therefore be ye ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh." The point is, number one, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You're not getting to heaven unless you're born again. But the point is, there's no time to wait around because we don't know the hour that the Lord is coming. You can't time the day the Lord will return. We can't say, you know, I'll live how I want to for now, and just before the Lord comes back, then I'll get saved. We can't do that, and we can't say that, but so often people live like that, and they're gambling with their eternity today. We need to get ready, because the Lord is coming back very soon. Are you saved? You need to be born again. The Bible says that now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. But then secondly, if you are saved, then you need to stay ready. You need to stay ready. Verse 37 of our text. In fact, let's just look at, since we're here in Matthew 24, let's look at verses 45 and 46. "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant when his whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." If you go back to Luke chapter 12, in verse 37, Jesus says it here, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit to meat and will come forth and serve them." Here's the principle or the point. If we're saved, we need to stay ready. How do we stay ready? By doing our job, by serving Christ, not serving self, not living for the here and the now. That's how we stay ready. Not being entangled with temporal things that are of no value. What do you give your life to? During his 1960 presidential campaign, John F. Kennedy would often close his speeches with a story of a man named Colonel Davenport. He was the Speaker of the Connecticut House of Representatives in the 1700s. But this is what he would say. One day, or in 1789, the sky of Hartford darkened ominously, and some of the representatives, glancing out the windows, feared that the end was at hand. Quelling a clamor for immediate adjournment, Davenport rose and said, "The day of judgment is either approaching or it is not. If it is not, then there is no cause for adjournment. If it is, I choose to be found doing my duty. Therefore, I wish that candles be brought. Rather than fearing what is to come, we're to be faithful till Christ returns. Instead of fearing the dark, we're to be lights as we watch and wait." Listen, and here's the principle. Rather than storing up treasures here on earth, we're to be laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven, doing our duty. That's how we're ready and how we're watching. The Lord is coming very soon. Are you doing your duty? The Lord is coming very soon. Are you ready? Are you saved? Have you been born again? But then consider with me, lastly, the working. Verses 41 to 48. "Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Verse 48, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Peter says here to Jesus, he says, is this parable for us or is it to all people? And Jesus says, well, of course I'm talking to my servants and my stewards, and of course you're one of them, but the door is open because it applies to all people. There's a reward, Jesus says in verses 41 to 44, there's a reward for faithfulness during his absence. When he comes again, those who are faithful are going to be rewarded. Faithfulness during his absence equals rewards at his appearance. But likewise, verses 45 to 48, faithlessness during his absence equals a rebuke at his appearance. The question is, what is your life? Are you being faithful to the Lord or faithless? Listen, as soon as we decide that the Lord isn't going to return very soon, then we start living for ourselves. And to not look for and long for or love His coming. And we allow our hearts to grow cold and get worldly. As soon as we come to that conclusion that the Lord is not going to return, we begin to live for ourselves. You know what the world says? The world says the Lord's not going to return. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look with me there. 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. The world says the Lord's not going to come. But you know what the Word of God and even the times that we live in tells us? That His coming is very, very near. I just saw a newspaper article yesterday. And I'm not even kidding. The headline in the newspaper article was, do you need a cash injection? And then the article went on to show how what's happening right now over in the Middle East, in the United Arab Emirates, is that they are injecting into the hand a microchip that houses all of your financial information, your credit cards, you know, your social security number, whatever they use or whatever. And they're implanting it between the finger and the thumb right here in the meat of the hand on the right hand. You know what the Bible says in the tribulation? That no one can buy or sell unless they take the mark of the beast. Or let's just go ahead and look at it over there. Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. In verse 16, this is a tribulation time period, and the Antichrist is in power. In verse 16, he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And this article went on to say that this is what they're doing right now. The technology is there. They've already implanted it into some people in their right hand that houses all of their financial records and information, and basically talks about how they can go, you know, to the store or whatever, and they can, you know, they can scan it, boop, or whatever, and they can pay for their things right there. You can't hack it, you know, because it they're talking about with certain technologies and so on. That they're putting in place, it can't be hacked with right equipment, and it can verify exactly who they are, and it can keep track of where they are too. All of that's starting to happen right now. And you know what it tells me? It tells me that the coming of the Lord is very, very near. That's what it tells me. And again, it reiterates and emphasizes the fact that we need to be ready for Christ's return. Jesus Christ is coming again. He said he would. In John chapter 14, we look over in John 14. Verse 1, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Jesus says, "I'm coming again." The angel said he would. In Acts chapter 1, remember how the disciples at Jesus' ascension, the disciples stood staring up into heaven when Jesus ascended right before their very eyes. And the angel said, "This same Jesus, which you've seen go, in like manner will come again." They said, "Why stand ye gazing?" The disciples had a job to do, didn't they? And the point is, we have a job to do. The way that we're ready as saints of God for the Lord's return is by being busy, by serving, by having our priorities right, by focusing on the Lord, not being caught up in the temporal things of this life. The Lord is coming again. The question is, are you ready? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Have you repented of your sins and trusted in Christ? If you're saved, you need to be like those faithful servants, not those evil servants. And we need to be watching by serving and loving His appearing. The Lord could come today. Are you ready to meet Him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'd take these Bible principles and help us to apply them where they're necessary. Father, for any who are not ready to meet the Lord in their soul, they've never been saved, Lord, I pray that they would see a glimpse of their eternity without God, the horrors of their eternity without God. Because when Jesus Christ comes again, if they enter into eternity without Jesus Christ as their Savior, therefore their doom is forever settled. It's too late once the Lord returns. And Father, I pray that if there are those among us this morning who are wrestling with the Spirit of God over their salvation, the fact that their soul is not ready to meet their God, Lord, I pray that they would yield to Your Holy Spirit and Father, come to a saving knowledge of Christ today. And Father, for saints of God, Lord, I pray that You'd help us to live with eternity in view. And understanding that our Lord could come again today, could come tomorrow. And You've given us a privilege of this time to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Lord, You've given us the privilege of this time to be faithful to the Lord, and Lord, I pray that we would be found faithful at the Lord's return. If there are areas of life that are on a temporal plane that dominate, that distract, that entangle, Lord, I pray that You'd help us to gird up the loins of our mind, and Father, that we would free ourselves from the entanglements of this temporal life and be ready and free to serve our Lord, serve our Savior, so that we might be found faithful when He comes. Whatever it is that You would choose to do in each heart today, I pray that each one would be swift to respond as the Lord speaks. In Jesus' name, amen.